Meeting to order, could we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a moment of silent reflection, please? Thank you. I'd like to welcome you all to the meeting tonight and to remind you that the meeting is being recorded and it will appear on the internet. And before we start, I want to go through the agenda just a little bit because there's a couple of changes in it, at least one in particular. But before that, I want to apologize to my fellow school board members. I was remiss. I should have let you guys know ahead of time, and I didn't. Oh. I didn't even think of it. I thought of it on my way here tonight, that I should have let you guys know ahead of time, and for that I apologize. But now you're going to hear the story. We talked a little bit about it when I met with the superintendent and Steve and the assistant superintendent. We talked about changing the meeting a little bit. And you notice public comment is still on there, item F and G for school board response, and that really hasn't changed for this meeting. However, item K, question and answer trial. We've been getting some feedback that people feel we should have a more open communication between the board and the public. So we decided to try this. We will entertain any questions pertaining to any items on the agenda tonight during this question and answer period. So feel you can ask anything, any question about the agenda item that we talked about, and we will try to answer you. You can ask other questions, but we are not. I may say no, we're not going to answer that because it has nothing to do with our agenda item. You roll the dice on that one. But as far as agenda items, we will try to attempt to answer those questions. And instead of having one person get the floor, I'll just ask for a comment or question, and we'll address them one at a time. If you have a comment, you can just give it. If you have a question, you give it. Then I'll go on to somebody else. And if you have a second one, just raise your hand and I'll get back to you. Okay? So those are the changes for tonight's meeting. We will move on. Correspondence. We have one letter here. Okay, now I'll read it. Dear members of the board, on behalf of the Hillsborough Lions Club, I want to thank you for the generous donation of the use of the elementary school cafeteria and kitchen for our 40th annual senior dinner. Your staff was very helpful every step of the way. We want to particularly acknowledge the help of Food Service Director Michelle DuPont, who allowed us to store our supplies in a walk-in and assured that the facility was unlocked and accessible when we needed it. All this at a time of personal stress. Michelle Connolly spent the entire day with us, provided much more than her assistance. Her leadership and coordination was essential, as our members are eager volunteers, but less than top chef material. Again, thank you for assisting in this popular community project, Hillsborough Lions Club. Lee Busser, Project Chairman. Any other correspondence? Okay, hearing none, recognitions.
I'd like to just commend the schools for their various assemblies for Veterans Day. The middle school sponsored a breakfast, which was absolutely sensational. High school did a tremendous assembly, which was very moving. And at the elementary school, we had Ms. Sarah Engel, who did a presentation for her class with Mr. Dan West, who was formerly an employee here and a service member, who had a very nice PowerPoint presentation for the kids. So overall, I just want to commend everybody for the nice job that they did.
Anything else? Presentations? We don't have any. Public comment. Just as a reminder, this is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made, but we do reserve that right. Any public comment? Yes, ma'am.
Kathleen Hopper, Hillsborough. Hi, everyone, again. Do I really need it?
Can you sing?
I can. wanted to make sure that we loop back and have a really deep look at what we learned from Mr. Riker's presentation last school board meeting, which was that for the current fourth and fifth grade classes, only 35% of those kids met or exceeded what they should have learned the previous school year. I mean, that means right now in the fourth grade classes, which have 26 students on average, 65% of the kids in those classes haven't mastered the third grade content. And so we have the fourth grade teachers not only trying to provide small group learning, again, to a class of 26 kids, but also fill in the gaps of their knowledge. And I think that this has been going on for years. You know, you look at the scores of the current fifth grade class, and it's in that 35% to 39% have mastered year after year. And we're getting ready to send these kids to middle school, the majority of them with giant gaps in their knowledge. And I think we need to stop putting on Band-Aids, and we need to fix the problem. And the problem is the elementary school. We need to give them the resources they need to be able to fill the gaps in these kids' education. This is where they build their foundation, not only for the rest of their academic career, but the rest of their lives. And so we need to really look at that. And I think part of looking at that is looking at what we can do with our existing budget, but I think we need to think outside the box as well. In the younger grades, there are a lot of parent volunteers, you know, parents who are in there every week helping with things. As the kids get older, the classroom teachers don't need that same sort of help in the classroom, which makes sense. But we're turning away volunteers as they kind of age out of the classroom environment. So what can we do to keep these parents involved in a meaningful way to help the school? Because really what these kids need, the majority of them, is they need someone they can read to, who can listen to them read, who can help them one-on-one with reading. They need someone to play math games with so they can solidify their addition, their subtraction, their multiplication. And we've also got kids at the high school and the middle school who need community service hours. So why aren't we providing an environment where they can come down, they get out of school an hour earlier, where they can come down and play math games or read with a student? I just think that we need to be looking at all of our resources, not only the financial ones, but also the community resources, to make sure that we're really giving these kids what they need and what they deserve. And there's a lot of us here tonight. You're going to be hearing a lot about communication, especially current communication issues at the elementary school. I think you're going to hear a lot, especially about an incident last Friday at lunch. And I think it all boils down to the parents aren't feeling necessarily like they're being heard. And we've tried talking to the administration. In a lot of cases, were either not responded to. I know I left a message from Ms. Beaupre at 8 o'clock this morning. She hasn't had a chance to get back to me yet, but it sounded like she had a lot of people on her to-do list. But I think the important thing to just acknowledge overall, away from individual cases, is that a lot of kids who have always been happy in school are unhappy. And so regardless of if it is an incorrect misperception on their part, the truth and the honest hard truth is that they are currently unhappy, and the parents who are reaching out trying to get this corrected and addressed aren't feeling heard. And so hopefully you guys are willing to hear their voices tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Michelle Prentice. I teach at the high school, but I'm actually here as a parent of a fourth grader tonight. My fourth grade son has been in a very small grade. There's only, I think, 76, 78, I'm not sure of the exact number of kids in the grade. And so starting in his second grade here, they moved the number of teachers for the class from four teachers in the grade down to three. And that resulted in much larger class sizes for all of those kids. And so I'm here to ask, as you work on your budget for next year, that you consider adding a teacher back in for next year's fifth grade, because I'm really concerned that this group of students is really having a difficult time mastering what they need to know when they're being stuck in classes with such huge numbers. As a teacher, I can tell you that I'm much more effective when I'm in a class of 20 compared to the larger class sizes of 26. I'm lucky in that my one large class of that size is my AP class, so I don't have to deal with a lot of disciplinary behaviors with that group. But I can only imagine having a group of squirrely fourth grade kids like mine in a room would make that job much more challenging for a teacher. And so I would really like to see you consider, instead of cutting staff, to please consider adding staff for that group, especially going into their fifth grade year as it's their last year here at the elementary school before they go on to the middle school. And that seems to me to be really crucial to not have them fall behind. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, my name is Danielle Quinn, and I'm from Hillsboro. I have a son who's in the fifth grade, and it's happening quite frequently that he's actually coming home with a full lunchbox. What I've been hearing is that their lunches for the fifth grade class are being taken over by a lecture session where their eyes must be reined forward, and they're not allowed to eat their lunch. I can understand that maybe a child may take things out of context here or there, but it seems to be an overall consensus that their lunches are now being consumed with lecture, and I guess I'll just put it that way to put it nicely, but we're eliminating recess time, and now we're taking away their lunch time. I don't know how we can expect them to learn in a safe and positive environment when they're feeling like they don't have any time to be kids.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, my name is Mike Luciano. I'm a fourth grader named Logan. I kind of cherry pick what names to go to. I got an email today, that's why I'm here. It seems to me convenient to blame it on the finances and the budget. When I moved to town 15 years ago, my annual taxes were $2,200. I just got a check that paid off this year for $8,200 15 years later. And I certainly don't live in a mansion. I live in just a normal-sized home. What is the draw for Hillsboro right now? There's no economic growth. It's a beautiful town. Once you live here, you'll understand what you have. But what's going to get people to move here? I work in the Swansea area, and people, employees of mine, looking for property, looking for homes. Hey, come to Hillsboro, come to Hillsboro. 9 times out of 10, the first thing they say is, oh, they have a lousy school district. That's their reputation. If we keep cutting the corners, keep nickel and diamond and getting the money where there's not a fight, we're never going to get out of that reputation. Now, granted, we have the property being built behind Bill Vicente's. I know that hasn't really been, or at least I'm not aware of being said what's actually going to be built or who's moving in. But I know one of the properties is a 98,000 square foot building. I work in a 77,000 square foot retail outlet, which requires 350 employees on average to maintain. If that's 98,000 square feet going up there, you're looking at 450 to 500 employees to probably staff that one building going up there. To think that the average class size isn't going to get above the 30 mandated by the state, it's an inevitability. It'd be nice to react now before we have to later. I think the teachers that my son have been wonderful. I am no means am I saying that what we have is inadequate, but I think there's a need for more. I think it's kind of obvious. I work 60 hours a week because I couldn't go to college. I grew up poor. I work 60 hours a week to give my son a better life. If it's not going to happen in this school system, families like me are going to be forced to look elsewhere. And that's only going to create a circle of life. You're not going to have the students to maintain because people are going to have to put their children in the better school systems. Once again, I'm not trying to be negative. Some of my facts may be wrong, but I can tell you what I see. I can tell you what I hear, and I can tell you what I know. That's all I want to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Good evening. I'm Selena Brown. I'm from Hillsboro. And I really reiterate what you said and the fact that I own numerous homes in this town, and the reputation of the school is extremely important to me. For the last 9 years, I've done nothing but praise it. My daughter's been very successful here, and my son has enjoyed it as well. It's very important to me that I'm an involved parent throughout the school and the community, and I really want the school to be successful, and that's why I'm here tonight. I'm concerned because I have had some concerns. I have heard that there are things going on in the school that may be problems, but they're not being communicated to parents. And as you can see here, all of us parents really care, and we really want the school to be successful, and we want to be involved. But if we're not being communicated to what the problems are, it's very difficult for us to be part of the solution. And every time we try to be involved, we're being discouraged from being involved, and we're not being responded to or communicated, or we just feel like nobody's listening to us, and so that's why we're here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Oh, yes. Hi, my name is Stephanie Marks. I have a fifth grader at the elementary school. As Selena was saying, he's loved the school. You know, we've been here for 10 years, so he's been here straight through for school. And as the gentleman behind me was saying, not to be negative, but Hillsborough does not have a good reputation for the school district. I have always stood up for the school. I think the teachers here are phenomenal. That was until this year. And this isn't against the teachers, but my son, who has never, ever, ever been in trouble, is in trouble all the time. And when I reach out to ask why, his homeroom teacher has said to me, I'm not sure, he's my best student. So why he's being made to miss his lunch, why he's being made to miss half of his recess, I've reached out numerous times, and my response was something along the lines of, I don't think that's happening. Well, I'm sorry, but my son is not a liar, so I've reached out to other parents, because perhaps he's 10. You know, perhaps he made up a story. So I've reached out to numerous parents, most of whom are here, and they've all got the same story. So unless there were 15 to 30 fifth grade liars, then we have an issue. We've taken away what appears to be any type of positive reinforcement that was given in this school, and now it's lecturing, it's signs in the cafeteria. I don't know if they're still there, but you need to be quiet, you need to be silent. Like, this is school. If all of us tried to fit in that cafeteria at one given time, even this small group here, it would not be silent. These are fifth graders. I'm asking, please, before you have another family up and leave this town, which probably doesn't mean that much to you, but it does to us, please listen to the concerns of the parents. And actually listen. Don't just shoot off a defensive email that says, I don't know what you're talking about. We can't all be wrong. Thank you.
Amber Lane, parent of two elementary school students. I don't have a fifth grade student yet. I have a third and a fourth grade student. My concerns are, as everyone else's as well, that fourth grade classes are a little too large for the needs of all of those students, and also that my children coming up in the ranks are going to end up in the situation that the fifth graders seem to currently be in. I reached out to my two children to ask them if they have experienced any of the things that I have reached out to other parents about, which we were talking about, the lecturing at lunchtime and things like that. They both said that they're getting those types of situations as well, not maybe as in-depth as what fifth grade is experiencing. And as a parent, that concerns me that this is going to become a trend that's going to keep coming down if we don't speak out now and try to find a solution for these types of issues that might be cropping up this year. Thank you.
Anybody else? Oh, we have somebody up front here.
Hi, Cindy Boothby. I'm also the parent of a fifth grader and agree with all of what these parents are also saying. My child was separated at lunch, put in a group with approximately 12 other students on the other side of the cafeteria, segregated and not told why until approximately a week later. And after my several emails to his teachers to find out why he was put on the other side of the cafeteria.
Thank you.
My name is Hannah Kelly. I actually am a parent in the elementary school and in the high school. And I have the same cafeteria concerns, but I don't need to go over those again. Actually, I was talking with my daughter's fifth grade teacher, and I had asked a question about the yearbook. And she had said that she had heard that maybe there was no money in the budget about the yearbook. So I didn't know if that could be looked at, if there was maybe some discretionary spending that could be put towards that, but if not, if there's something that parents can do. Because I'm kind of concerned maybe not a fifth grade yearbook for my daughter's fifth grade year. If that could be looked at, that would be great.
I didn't catch your name, I'm sorry.
Hannah Kelly. I have a fifth grader and a ninth grader as well. So if I could meet up at some point, that would be great. If not, then I'm sure our parents would probably get together to make sure our fifth graders have a yearbook as well before following them. But that's it.
Sir?
I'm Mike Racine. I have 7 points to make. I'm a parent of a fourth grader and a kindergartner. I couldn't be more frustrated. First point, my taxes have gone up every year since I moved in 2005. I think Hillsborough's in the top 10% of all towns statewide, 28-29% tax rate, whatever it is, add the, you know, put the decimal point on. We can't go up any higher. You go up any higher, people are moving because they don't want to pay anymore. Is there a financial solution? I don't know. That's 1 point. Second point is my fourth grader, class size of 26, unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. It's way too high. I don't care if we can go up to 30. 26 is too much. How do we get that down? Do we even have goals as a school system to say, 26 is too much. Maybe it should be 18 to 20. Do we have goals? If we don't, we're never going to meet them. That's the second point. Third point, there has to be some sort of buffer in the budget. To think, well, we have no measure. If students move in, families move in just before the school year starts, and we say we can go up to 30 kids, that's fine. Let's put 26 in this classroom. Some level is too high. 26 is too high. Can we put some sort of buffer in the budget? We say if a certain number of kids are in a class, we're going to bring on another teacher because we have the money. There has to be some wiggle room, you know, in the budget. Fourth point, lunchtime. I don't know what's going on. My daughter tonight says, I've hardly finished my lunch for the entire school. Every day so far this year, I can hardly finish my lunch. Why, Sydney? We can't talk while we're being lectured to by the vice principal. We can't talk. We sit and watch. They have time to eat their lunch? I don't know. Is discipline a problem in this school? Yes. Is it a financial solution? No, it's not a financial solution. There has to be some sort of control here. Should my daughter be punished and miss her lunch because someone else in the class has been acting up? Well, every now and then maybe that's okay. You suffer for someone else, what's the thought process? Peer pressure is going to really kick in. My daughter is going to go to the kid who's always acting up and say, no, why don't you start behaving because so I don't have to miss my lunch? Why don't you start behaving so I don't have to miss my recess? Should a whole class be punished because we have a couple kids that act up? Maybe every now and then. This shouldn't be a common trend. Is that a financial problem? Does that concern the budget? No. Is discipline an issue in this school system? Yes. It's not a financial solution. It's not a budgetary concern. But when you have class sizes of 26, my daughter in fourth grade coming home every day, frequently, at least once a week, saying, we're not going out to recess, we're missing lunch, or whatever it is a discipline problem. So-and-so was sent to the SSC again today. So-and-so was sent to the SSC again today. Multiple times per week. I think, that poor girl, how much education does she get when someone in her class is disrupting her on a regular basis and she can't learn? That's point five. Point six relates to point five. So my daughter's not doing good in school, and I said, what's the issue? We've met with every teacher. We hired a private tutor over the summer. Can't she get help? What's the issue? Do I think she has a learning disability? Maybe. What could be the real issue? Discipline in the class. Is she disrupted over and over and over again because her class size is too big and the class is uncontrollable? Very possible. It's not a financial solution. It's something the school system has to address. That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else? John?
I appreciate the concerns here. I just want to point out that I think I spoke about this at one of the previous meetings where concerns were raised. But back in October, One of the packet items was a thing listing the number of students in all the grades in the elementary school. And if I recall, I'm not positive, I think it was either the second or the third grade has class sizes of 15. And looking at that, I thought at the time, oh, why not just move one of the teachers up? Their certified educational teacher certification covers the whole elementary school. And that you would end up with class sizes of 20 for both. You know, it's not ideal to do that after the school year has started, but it's not ideal for kids to suffer in a situation that could be remedied, at least partially. So, and I know you respond sometimes to my comments, but I never did yet hear the board make a response to that, and it would be nice either now or perhaps at that second public comment that this get addressed, and that you seriously consider doing that.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Also, I noticed, you know, the school looks great with new carpeting and all kinds of new additions.
Could you get your name, please?
Heather Anderson. My daughter's in fourth grade with Mr. Racine's, 26 kids in her class. And my daughter also complains that it's really loud and she can't concentrate in the classroom. And she's really annoyed by, like, just the size of lots of kids everywhere. And it's not very well controlled, and I don't blame the teacher. She can't help. How do you, like, maintain control of 26 kids in the classroom? But it's frustrating to see all the new, you know, pretty carpeting and stairs and all kinds of beautiful things that happen in the school. It's nice, but teacher's more important.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, response. I have a question. All these I'm hearing there's issues with the lunchroom, lecturing in the lunchroom, stuff going on there. I'm hearing we have unhappy kids in the class, in the school. They don't want to come anymore, probably, because they're not happy. The lack of communication. Then we have some sort of issue with the yearbook and the finances around that. Have we talked to the principal about this? I'm seeing a lot of yeses. Have we talked to the superintendent about this? I was hearing a lot of yeses. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bob.
I think we have to kick it a little bit to the administration at this point. I don't want to respond necessarily as a school board member until I hear I hear from the administration. I hear all the concerns. As an educator, I understand their concerns. But I think we have to hear get some perspective on it.
I agree.
Okay. Then you're going to bear with me for a few minutes, because I've been trying to take copious notes. most of the issues are issues that probably three people in this audience have either spoken to me or met with me about. The first one I want to talk to is the test scores. I don't think anybody would deny the fact that we've identified that this is a problem. It's been a problem for years. We're not happy with the test scores that we're seeing. We've seen improvement in some areas, and there are other areas where we're just as frustrated as we were before. We looked at some STAR 360 results today of actually a grade where the improvement was tremendous. What are we doing about the test scores? Well, since most of you are all elementary parents, the first thing is the STAR 360 program. And we've talked about this. Some of you will know about this. Others will not. The STAR 360 is a program that is produced by a company called Renaissance Learning, which has always had excellent student programs. The STAR 360 sets a baseline for all of the kids, where they're at in both reading and in math. It then takes the group of kids that are in that class, and it divides them into different skill levels. Now, I would agree with you that when there's 27 kids in the room, that has to be four groups, and that is much harder for a teacher to control. But there's a change in the way teaching has to happen today. The one person talking head speaking to kids that are a whole range of skill levels is not going to work. What does work is when you break the kids into the groups of where they are. And I particularly like what Ms. Hopper said, is if you can identify where the gaps are for those kids, you stand a much greater chance of moving everybody forward. And that's what STAR 360 does. It also does it through what we call accelerated math. The math scores have simply been horrific, in my opinion. They've been absolutely terrible. It's been an ongoing issue. Quite frankly, the last year or two, we were off track pretty significantly. Where we were off track is we went off on a tangent on math that was unacceptable to me. Hopefully, we're back on track. We have a very clear set of math goals, and that's created through the Common Core. And we had veered from that. And though the word, what's the word that they use, the untouchables or the non-negotiables were, it's a nice thing to hear. It's a nice word. It sounds good. But the non-negotiables weren't aligned with the Common Core. That problem's been addressed by our curriculum person, and hopefully we're getting people back on track with what our kids are going to be tested on, not what some people think they should know. It's sticking to what the actual test is testing on. As far as the classroom sizes go, those of you that have been at the meeting, a handful of people come, I commend you for coming. Some of you have talked about the financial piece of what's going on, and I would agree with the minutes that some of this is financial and some of this is not. The reality of it is, those of you who've been paying attention to the budget discussions that have been very early, that before I ask this board to support adding a single teacher, adding an additional computer, we are at a $900,000, Laurie, correct me if I'm wrong, three drivers, the collective bargaining agreement with which the community voted to support, the health care costs, and the New Hampshire retirement system. Those three costs are $900,000 plus over last year's $21 million budget. Those three things alone. That's not adding a single teacher. That's not adding a single book. That's not trying to recoup the damage that the administrators took last year and the last couple of years, where they decreased their substitute budget, they decreased their supply budget, they decreased their book line. Okay, so I think you're right on target. You need to be here. You need to be paying attention to what this board is going to have to decide when I present a budget in a couple of weeks that's going to be possibly double digits. It's going to be in the 9 to 10% range, with the administrators asking for actually very, very little. Okay, you're looking at a budget that's 4+% before we've made one additional improvement. Okay, it can't be a number you just like. It has to be a number that's based on what's right for kids. As far as taxes going up, I live in the town too. I've owned a home here for the 5 years that I've worked here. What people forget, quite frankly, when they look at the tax bill, is there's two parts of a tax bill. And one of them is the assessment. And those of you that have been coming to the meetings for the last several years, recall that my first year here, which was 12-13, the assessment in the town of Hillsborough, our property values decreased 28%. Well, if the value of your property decreases 28%, your tax rate's going to have to go up 28% to meet that. Now, I realize that, what does that translate out for me in dollars? But you have to do the full formula. You can't just say my tax rate went up 28% because your tax value went down 28%. And if you look at the history of the school district over the last several years, the actual increase in the tax rate and increase in the budget last year was 0.9%. I don't know many districts that can survive at 0.9%. 4 years I've built a budget for this district, and this year I'm going into, this is one of the hardest budgets I have ever seen us face, because you have to come up with $900,000 to break even and have status quo, not add, not buy new computers. So that's going to take an awful lot of parents who, as we know, are taxpayers to come out and speak to your neighbors, speak to your friends, and say, we're going to get hit with a tax bill. And the $100 or the $200 per year that you may save, that some people may save on their taxes, is going to have a much bigger impact on the children in this community. I'm going to switch now to the behavior. As those of you who are aware, last year at the end of the year, when teachers were asked, when administrators were asked, what do we need to do in the elementary school as far as the culture here goes? The most common response was behavior. So here's two new principals, a new principal and a new assistant principal, who came into a building and were informed by their staff that one of the things that interferes with learning is the behavior of children. And I have to agree with the person. In the cafeteria, when you've got a couple of hundred kids under the age of 10, that's not going to be a quiet place. And I've had my discussions with the principal and the assistant principal about what a realistic expectation of that was. 2 weeks ago, the principals were at a conference, and I had the great pleasure of being the principal of the middle school for the day. I just was so happy when lunch was over, it was like a weight was taken off of my shoulders, because the noise in that room, the energy in that room, wasn't bad energy, it was just like energy. I mean, like the walls were going. And a cafeteria should have some of that kind of energy, but not the energy where a kid says, I feel I'm being picked on, or somebody says something that's hurtful. And we have two new people, and they're on a learning curve on that. As far as the yearbook goes, I don't really know the answer on the yearbook. That one, I did that come up at PTO? I forget. No. I can find that out for you. I'd have to do some homework on that. So I don't know if I hit everybody's. I would recommend that you continue to speak to the principal. He's here. I don't think this is necessarily the forum for him to answer all your individual things. But I would suggest that the communication continue, that you send him emails. And when a parent calls me a superintendent, the typical questions that I ask are, what did the teacher say when you called them? Because there's one thing I know. I wasn't in the room and you weren't in the room. So the adult that you're going to get the best explanation from is the teacher who was in the room. And that should always be your starting point. The second place would be the administrator. Whether it's a conduct issue, a behavior issue, that typically goes directly to the assistant principal. If it's an academic kind of issue, that would either go to guidance or to Mr. Record. And if you're unhappy with those, certainly call me, certainly email. I'll meet with anybody. And you can bring me any problem you want. But if you haven't talked to the teacher and you haven't talked to the principal yet, you need to do that homework first. Right? Because they're the ones that are going to know more than me what went on. And I will help drive that. It is my job to supervise them. And if the discipline continues to be an issue, I'll step into that. But I would prefer that the two new people who are trying to address what they've been informed the concerns are, be allowed to do that. And if we're not happy with it, then you need to pick up that phone and you need to type that email and say, this is what happened today. Ask the teacher, what happened in the room? Why was my Johnny not given recess or not given lunch with everybody else? That's a question that you have to ask the person that did that first, because the board's not there either. So that does fall on me if you're unhappy with the way that that's been going.
Board, anything else?
I'm trying to gather my thoughts a little bit. Just want to respond to what I heard. I hear all the concerns, and I hear the superintendent's response on a number of different levels. I think I'll stay away from the finances at this point. I feel that we're going to get a budget. And yes, yeah. The budget is the reality of our priorities. I mean, you can say you have priorities, but if it's not reflected in the budget, then it's not there. It also is a reality that we face a lot of constraints with state support, with the New Hampshire retirement system, with health care, et cetera, but lots of communities face those and face them successfully. I did hear a little bit of a mixed message, because I did hear from some parents how pleased they have been in the past with the school, with the education, despite the test scores, which are always a concern. And I can speak for an hour about test scores and knowledge versus skills and a whole bunch of other things like that, and teaching to a test and academics versus personal growth, all sorts of things like that.
But I've tried to reconcile in my own mind, and it'll probably take a while, how radical a difference it can be from one set of 9 or 10 years, in the case of a couple folks, to the current situation. How much of it is individual situation? How much of it is the 26 in the class? 26 is a very, very tough number. The board has some guidelines. 26 is not optimal. We look at small class sizes for the younger elementary grades, and we have to look at the demographics and the special needs of kids in the class as the administration looks at that when they determine the size of a class. But I certainly understand the 26. But I see the convergence of lots of issues, some of which we may be able to deal with as a board on a policy level, on a budget level, some of which we have to rely on the superintendent and the administration to do their thing and to be responsive. I'm pleased that so many people came up tonight. I think that's a great sign, and I want to thank people for that. And maybe there'll be a little bit of back and forth when we get into the later session.
Could I?
Go ahead, Paul.
A couple of things. First, on the budget, I attended the Health Trust meeting in Concord, and basically, it's no good news. They're trying to raise their funding. If you remember, a few years ago, LGC had the fund of $100 million, and the state stepped in, Attorney General, and they nixed that. But now the Health Trust is looking at their actuaries, and they're saying, we need to add $5 million every year for the next 5 years over and above what we charge now and over and above what inflation is going to be. So the health costs are going up for the next 5 years. The other thing on the retirement, that's even worse. The projected year, last time I heard, for catching up, because we're in the hole, we're underfunded, and we're up above 17% now, I believe, the cost of that. The year was 2038 when we would catch up. And one of the reasons is they keep predicting that our investments are going to earn 8.5%, and they earn about 7. And that, you know, it varies a little bit. But anyway, that's another issue, that it's going to go up every year. The other thing I just wanted to comment on, all these problems that have come up are new, I think, to the board, except we've heard about the overcrowding in the fourth grade before. Just to relate, I did go up last Thursday to the fourth grade, sat in on a class. I don't know if I didn't pick the right time or something, but the kids were on their computers with a Chrome studying math, different facets of math, and I was kind of impressed. They had different programs in math that the kids were on, and I talked to the teacher, and she was telling me, I've got a printout here, this kid did 17 problems, this kid did 12, and this kid did very few, we need some interventions from help. And I was impressed that the teacher has this at her fingertips. While the kids were on the computer, once in a while the teacher would say, pay attention, you're daydreaming, get back on, do some work. But basically, things were very quiet when I was there for this. And again, maybe it's because they were on the computer, but I was there about a half an hour, and then the kids had a break for, a restroom break and a snack break. But there were a lot of kids in that class. I think there were 24 in that present at the time. But it went very well with the computers, and I was impressed that the kids seemed to be following along. And again, you know, if I go a different day, maybe it'd be a different scenario, but that was last Thursday morning.
And that was an unannounced, you just showed up and went into a classroom? The principal allowed you, I realize that. But, I mean, there wasn't you planned to, did they know you were coming? It's just you actually just came. And,
well, the principal knew I was coming. The teacher knew I was coming.
Okay. On the other aspects of the state, it's important to note that this year from the state, we will be receiving about $113,000 less in adequacy and stabilization funds. And that's because the state is trying to beat down what they give back to the municipalities.
That 113 is actually the adequacy.
Adequacy, yeah.
The combined amount, I think, was closer to 150, 160.
So that's $160,000 less revenue that we're going to have going into this budget, which is at $900,000 before I buy an additional Chromebook. And right now, every single one of my buildings is going to ask for somewhere between 50 and 100 Chromebooks. And one last thing is, I empathize with the person that said that you struggle with the reputation of the schools. Being a new superintendent here, I was invited to come to a committee, a local town committee, about trying to improve the business culture, et cetera, here. And they asked me what I thought of the schools. Well, I really had only been here about a week. So I said, well, why don't you tell me what you think of the schools? And the answers I got were just so discouraging that there were leaders in the community that said, fifth from the bottom was probably the most common thing that I heard. Yet today, Hillsborough Dearing High School is the 11th best high school in the state of New Hampshire by U.S. News and World Report. But you have people who don't celebrate when we are successful, who there will always be negative, critical, sarcastic, cynical folks that will not let go of the fifth from the bottom instead of celebrating that we've moved and we've made progress and we're going in the direction and we need to do more of that at the other grade levels, at the elementary in particular.
Can I just say, as far as I'm very appreciative that you guys are all here, and thank you for speaking up. In a number of people's presentation, I have to say, I heard succinctly in one conversation some of the struggles that I feel that we deal with all the time, which is that basically, you know, start off the conversation with taxes are too high, but we need more teachers and we need more resources. I certainly personally, and I think we as a board really struggle with those issues. The two things are not obviously in sync. Teachers cost money. They should cost money. They do cost money. We're very aware of that we are scraping by, and certainly very aware that for several years now, and this next year is going to be even worse than previous years, that we have some preset major increases that we don't know what to do about. Let me backtrack for a second. As far as, again, I'm really appreciative that you guys are here. Oftentimes, the people that show up to school board meetings and other things like deliberative sessions are those in town that have, other perspectives as far as they just focus on the taxes are too high part. So we need to have the balance. We need to do both sides. Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for coming out, and I want to thank everyone for speaking what is on your mind and how you are feeling, because that's one way. I mean, we can't read each other's minds, so I mean, it's one thing. At least we're hearing, we're here to listen, and then we can comment back as appropriate as well. And I think just reiterating what has been said by the other board members and by Mr. Hassett, I think just encouraging the communication too, encouraging to keep the communication and the dialogue open with your teachers. And if that's not working, continue to feel like you can go to the building principals, and then if necessary to the administration. But hopefully, if we can keep that open, a lot of the things that are coming up probably are intertangled and intertwined and kind of work together. And like Steve said, I think I'm still, even though it's issues that we kind of look at all the time, I'm still trying to get my head around it and to process all of it. And there's no, I don't think there's any one easy answer. If there was, we'd probably be able to put the budget, you know, forward right now and know what we're going to do. But it's really hard, I think, when you walk into a budget process with these fixed costs that we've been sharing, you know, between the retirement system and the health, health insurance, you know, and you know, the collective bargaining agreement, that, you know, that balance of what we of course, the reason why we, you know, went for the seats that we have on the board is to offer the best quality of education for our communities, for our students. But it's a hard, you know, we need to, you know, keep hearing from you, and we need to keep hearing, as someone had said, you know, talking with your neighbors, talking with community members, so that everyone understands the value. Because, you know, in addition to helping our kids, I think it also does, it has a real direct effect on the community as well, as far as, you know, the more we can support our schools with the quality of education, it's going to help with jobs. I mean, it's going to help with, if we have a facility, a company that's going to be hiring 350 employees, you know, they're going to be looking to see, you know, what are the schools like, and what's the communication like, and are people working together? So I guess, you know, some of that, too. I mean, I will say, too, that I think in the last few weeks, when I think it was when Ms. Hopper came to the board meeting about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and, you know, I stayed after with Mr. Hassett. We are listening to some of those concerns, and it's probably no easy fix, especially mid-year. But, you know, he's probably put it on the top of his list as far as trying to go into those classrooms to at least observe, to see, you know, what kinds of things we could possibly do to improve the situation. And again, you know, looking at it at the current year versus looking at it next year, it's two different things. But, I mean, I guess if we are starting to talk about, you know, I mean, adding teachers and the other things that are necessary, that's where, you know, I don't want to get into the financial thing too much either, but it'll probably be some tough choices as a community. But I think if we all understand it, you know, that's why it's good that, you know, you're here too, to share the value of that education. So hopefully we can try to make the process as easy as possible so that we can try to get the best outcome we can. So thank you. Thank you again for coming out, because it's nice to have everyone here.
One more quick comment, Rich.
Thank you, student.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you so much. As a student, it's awesome to see you guys come out and support us as students. My suggestion for next time, I noticed that almost all of you are parents, and it would be nice to see community members that are not as involved in the school be still supportive of the school system. You guys have an investment in it. It's your children's education, and you're out here because you want your children's education to be the best that it can be. And by bringing other community members that aren't as invested in the school system and showing that they actually have an investment, even though it's not a personal investment, it can really show us and the people that are not as informed that this is an important issue and it needs to be discussed more. It needs to be more attended by the community in general and with everybody. And I think that's the best way to gather support for the upcoming budget season and to actually get a budget passed that is larger than we expected.
Steve?
Yeah, just one more comment. As I was reflecting some more on what people were saying, I think it's commonly accepted that the most important ingredient in education is the teacher. And it's reassuring that satisfaction with the teaching seems to be high. And I hear that tonight. I heard that when the collective bargaining agreement was passed. I feel we got a good collective bargaining agreement that after 3 years made it more attractive for teachers to be here, at the same time as they made concessions on healthcare costs, realizing how out of control healthcare costs are. Having good teachers in place enables us to wrestle with some of these challenges much more effectively and much more easily than if we had to start from scratch in the teaching staff. So I just wanted to note
that that's recognized. Appreciate.
One of the things that Rich Pelletier has brought to the table tonight is the second public comment, which is question and answer. And even though I think that's really valuable, I think it's important. An awful lot of the folks that are sitting in front of us have 1, 2, 3 children at home that are probably waiting to be put to bed and whatnot. So it's not necessarily the most conducive place to do that. So one of the discussions tonight is going to be, is there a better way for you to communicate with the board or the board to communicate with you? So if you have ideas or thoughts on that, it'll be eventually on the table as to how we create that better communication flow for the board. You can email me anytime you want.
That's right here, right?
Yep.
We're going to be talking about it in a few minutes. Anything else?
I guess.
From the board members?
I guess just likewise, too. It's no secret that our email addresses and our phone numbers are out there. As elected officials, we do live in the community. So, feel free, as much as, it'll go back to, I definitely encourage the classroom communication with teachers and principals and, following up that way. If there's questions or if there's, budget and policy issues that the school board that you would want to share with us, you can feel free to get that and encourage that. It's great. Like, I enjoy, having the relationships I have with people in the different schools and in the community. And, we're all community members as well.
Anybody else? Okay. As a final note, I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. I hope you heard some good things from us. I hope it kind of alleviated some of the concerns. If these issues don't go away, I would encourage all of you to come back. I would encourage you, number one, to make sure you go to the teachers, make sure you go to the principal. Mm. If you don't get a resolution from there, you go to the superintendent, and you don't get a resolution there, feel free to come to the board.
Section K encourages them to stay here.
And you can always stay for the question and answer.
You didn't listen to the solution I provided.
Excuse me, Mr. Segedy. You don't have the floor. You can have you can talk again at K, but for the time being, if you could restrain yourself, I would appreciate it. I listened to all was said too, and I'm not sure that we gave you what you were looking for. I can see from your head, some of you guys are saying, no, we didn't get it. Give us time to think about it. I wasn't expecting this tonight. I don't think any of the board members were. Give us some time. Okay? Pardon?
Expecting or not, we're here.
Yeah, I know that. But, some of the issues you have are not easily fixed. Okay? So, bear with us. Bear with us, and hopefully we can come to a resolution on this, and we will move on to the next item. Again, thank you all for coming.
Rich, can I just make one quick comment?
Go ahead.
Just so that everybody understands, I really do think that the board has listened carefully, but it's really important to understand what the board's role is, what the administration's role is, and what the classroom teacher, the different roles. We as board members are not going to be able to solve the lunch problem today.
Yes, you can.
That's not going to happen. Okay? We set policies, and we're looking at it on a macro level. We've dealt with the administration, the superintendent is in charge of the operations. He delegates the principals and vice principals and teachers. They're the ones that are going to solve it. Our role is policy. We can study the matter. We can talk with the administration, having heard comments. But it's ultimately up to the administration and the classroom teachers and the people online to make changes. I think you've presented the issues very, very clearly tonight. Mm. Some of them are macro issues, some of them are micro issues. They're all important. And I really feel that we have heard them. There's not action that we can take tonight to solve that. There's not action that we can take tonight to bring up test scores or to bring down budgets. But these are all things that are on our mind all the time.
Okay, we will move on. Board discuss potential warrant articles. Okay, if you look in your packet, you'll find four potential warrant articles that in the past, three of them we've had, and one is a new one. Again, the roof, we put money in it. We started it last year. We put money into it. The paving, again, we started that last year. We put money into it. Special education, that's one that we've had ongoing for many, many years. We can put money into that. As we know, last year we almost had to deplete it. So we can always put money into that. And then the fourth one that we talked about is a technology expendable trust. It seems that technology is becoming a greater, greater burden to the district as far as, especially with technology, the way it's changing. And everything is not connected anymore. Everything is through wireless connections. And that stuff's expensive to have this whole campus wired so that every student can have adequate access to the internet is quite an expensive endeavor. So anyway, we're not doing any action on those, but we just want you to be aware that those are the ones that we're thinking of. We also have the alternative school that we're thinking of as far as a warrant article. And I'm going to open the floor to you guys. Is there anything else that you think should be on this list?
First of all, before we get into any of this, I think we need to get the beginning of year balances for these funds and also the current balance in case we've used anything this year.
Okay, we have not used anything this year. The beginning balances, July 1st, 2016, for the maintenance expendable fund is $353,680.
That's the emergency fund, right?
The emergency fund, yes.
The emergency fund, no.
$353,680.
Okay.
The special education fund is $255,038, and we need to send $100,000 per warrant article to add to that. And at the same time, we'll be sending a payment to start the roof and the paving, so it's $50,000 each.
Okay. So the roof and the paving are going to have $50,000.
Right.
That's right. That was voted on last year. Correct.
Correct.
We just started those.
Yeah.
We don't have anything in that 2.5%.
Yes, we do. We actually, that's going to be a topic that is going to be really critical to this budget. Right now, we have approximately $529,000 that the voters agreed to hold back up to 2.5% of last year's budget, and that amount comes to $520,000, something in that range, which once the budget is presented, the board's going to have a pretty important decision to use that money. There are two ways that you can use that money. One is to bring down the taxes, and the other one is for emergency purposes. And you're stealing my thunder a little bit, but quite frankly, we need to use it this year to bring down the budget, to bring down the taxes.
The other thing, other I guess points to keep in mind is if you don't have an emergency come up during the year, you do have to use all of it to reduce the taxes anyway. It is not an accumulating thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought we could carry it from year to year.
No.
Okay.
We can carry it any years.
No, I don't believe you. It's for a single year. It has to be used.
So you can only ever carry 2.5.
The following year.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
So it's a rolling total.
It can never exceed more than 2.5% at any one time.
Yeah.
Yes.
All
right. Okay.
I don't know how to completely phrase this yet. I'm still processing it, but I mean, just as far as ideas, and we haven't seen the full budget yet. But we've got. I like how we're trying to phase in the technology because I think that'll be increasingly important. But even some of the issues that came up tonight, as far as class sizes, and at the last meeting we did, Steve, I think I'd mentioned the idea. We didn't decide on anything of a floating teacher, part time. I don't know, is that something that we'd want to have some kind of a fund available to, throughout the year if something changed mid-year or if something wasn't working correctly? Because, I mean, when we look at last year's numbers, of course, class sizes are going to change again as everyone moves up, and we don't know, you know, exactly what the kindergarten's going to look like next year. But as the year goes on, if we, you know, sort of see similar issues with class sizes, it, having maybe an extra buffer in there, I don't know. Again, it's tough with the other constraints that we have, but.
Yep.
I think it would be a wonderful idea to have a class size reduction teacher built into the budget, if that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be adding a position, because the reason we were able to reduce the class sizes in the grades that we did was because two people retired last year, and we were able to absorb that loss by taking the person who was previously the math tutor, the math coach, and making them a classroom teacher. Otherwise, the same numbers would have occurred in the fifth grade that are currently occurring in the fourth grade. And we can't fall into this spiral where the class size is going to have to get bigger because we're not adding staff. Again, it's premature in the budget discussion at this point, but it is going to come up at some point. Is we grapple with every year the teachers that tell us that they're going to retire because we need to build into the budget the retirement incentive that they would have, and how is that going to impact the budget? And the ones that tell us that they are and change their mind, well, that means that's money that hopefully should become available, but it becomes a moving target for us to do. And we made some progress with the collective bargaining agreement last year on finding out before the year is over so that we can get out into the market to hire. but it really didn't make any change as far as notification of, yes, I am or no, I'm not. The December 1st deadline is the one that we've stuck to at this point.
Can I follow? Just if we were to set some kind of a fund up like that, what number do you think would make sense to start with? And not to put you on the hook.
But. Well, you know, it depends. A starting teacher here only starts at about $35,000, which, as many of you know, is pretty close to what you qualify for free and reduced lunch for. So you could say a teacher's salary at $35,000, but they may be a person that has a family. And the health care is $25,000. So you're looking at a minimum of 60, and that would be the lowest paid person on the pay scale with the family health plan. So I think you're best off going with 60, but if you were to compare and look at, you wanted to get a veteran teacher that you could use that would be fluid, they wouldn't be at $35,000. They'd be closer to $50,000 to $60,000. And now you're looking at $85,000 if they have that. So 80 to 100. My math, they call that modern math, I think.
So anyway, these were put on here just so we can start thinking about this as we begin our budget discussions at our next meeting. Keep these in the back of your mind that we have these coming up as well. School board public comment. This came up at our meeting. Again, Steve, myself, superintendent, and assistant superintendent, the business administrator, meet on Wednesdays prior to the meeting, and we talked about ways to get more input into from the community. And one of the things we talked about doing is establishing a school board email account, not necessarily our own personal ones, but just a school board, you know, and Hillsborough Dairying, that somebody could monitor it, and we could report back to the board for anything that came from the community that they couldn't be here tonight. They want to ask a question, it would come to this forum, this school board email, and we could report on it at our school board meeting. Now, you were going to talk to attorneys.
I did. We played phone tag since last Friday. Barry, Christina, and I called him Friday. He called back late Friday afternoon, and we didn't get together again today. So we do need to clarify as to what would be the purpose of that, you know, the school board comment page or blog or whatever it winds up being, because once that happens, that's a public document. So if you're angry about the way that your child was treated on a certain day, you're putting that out there for anybody in the world to see, which sometimes you might regret after the fact. So it would be something that I think it would be healthy to have some parameters going into it, so it's a sensible opportunity for people to say this to the board. These are the concerns that I have with my school, with the budget, with the curriculum, with the facilities, whatever it might be.
So until we have the parameters from the attorney, how about if we table this? We're expecting them to have them tonight. We don't. Yep. So
can I ask one question?
Sure.
It sounds like the thought about it, this is that it's essentially one-sided communication that people are letting us know.
correct amount.
Yes. Expectation
and we would. I mean, one of the things we view it at is it comes in and we present it at the board meetings.
Right.
So that we would be sending
so maybe
it back.
Maybe they're agreed upon reply or something like that.
Correct amount. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds
but good. But I mean, we'd have to work out the details. But first, we have to find out from the attorney what the pitfalls, what we can do and cannot do, etc. And is it advisable? And once we find that out, then we can talk about what we can do within the parameters that he's given us.
Okay. Sounds
yes.
Good.
Just as a point of information, too, the town of Deering has a similar email address. And I think the board members rotate as far as monitoring it.
Yep.
But they don't, as far as I know, they don't respond from it. I think they do the same thing. They bring it to the meetings. You know,
yep.
That way they're in compliance with it. It's not a meeting, but on the other hand, you're right, it is a public document. So I don't know, other than putting comments next to the link on the website, the best way of getting that out to people so they know. But you know, hopefully people will understand that if they send an email to that address, it's going to become public.
Public.
Yeah.
Do they get many?
I don't know. I could check into that and see. That says I don't know how well it's utilized.
This is for selectmen, or
it's for selectmen. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's on their website, but mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah, and I think actually that's all they list on their website. I don't think they list personal email addresses.
Okay. So we'll table this and we'll pick it up once we have the attorney's. Okay.
Sounds good.
Interpretation of what we can and mm-hmm. cannot do. Okay. I think that's it for board discussion items. Now we have superintendent's report.
Okay, you have the appointments, leaves, and resignations, but I just caught a typo. there's a couple of them, I guess. Okay, well, Phil Swayze is getting $2, I think, for a stipend, but I think I think that's supposed to be $2,600. Does that sound correct, or Jim?
I'll have to check.
Okay, so as the board votes on it, they can do as amended or confirmed with you. And what was the other one that somebody else caught? Was that it? I think that was it.
That was the only one I saw.
Okay.
It's just something, it's really minor, but in the budget for the trip.
Oh.
There's
okay.
That's no big deal.
Then we have two overnight or out of New England field trips. The high school Hillstock Boston performance trip of in May 27th. So,
no tax dollars on that, right? That's all okay. Either donations or
correct.
Duncan Jenkins.
Correct. That's not coming out of the school budget. That's coming out of Duncan Jenkins for fundraising. Yeah.
Yep.
Financial update is Laurie.
So there's a financial statement for the month of October in your packet. I didn't see anything unusual here that was unexpected. I think I've mentioned before, anything that we can encumber for the year, we do. So our property fund, it looks like, you know, we have available balances. It's not unusual to not have that fully encumbered for because as repair commitments has come up, needs come up, then it would be encumbered.
There's a couple of things I guess I don't understand. On the budget for income, we've got $21,752,000
mm-hmm.
and expenses, we've got $22,210,000 change. So that's a difference of about $457,000. So that says to me we must be taking $457,000 over outside of one of our spend funds or something?
No, what happens is that when at the end of the year, historically what has happened is that when there are open purchase orders that have been encumbered, and so the expenses are being incurred, we haven't received the bill, we roll those purchase orders forward into the new year, and it has been adding to the budget, increasing to that budget. So what that amount is for, I would have to go back and review the open purchase orders at the end of the year to see specifically what they were for.
I guess my thinking is that over toward the right, where it says available balance, for expenses, it's got $2,038,338.66. To my way of thinking, that needs to be reduced by $457,000, which is the amount that the projected income isn't going to cover. So even if we have a budget of $22 million to spend, if we're not going to, for whatever reason, the state's not going to give us as much income as we anticipated, for whatever reason, we need to spend $457,000 less. And so I guess that should, in my way of thinking, should be subtracted from the available balance, leaving $1,580,866. Because otherwise, we're going to have to borrow money or something if we don't, cut those expenses.
The open purchase orders that were rolled over and increased the budget for this year, when we prepare our DOE 25, there's an amount that's reserved for those encumbrances to offset that, so it isn't
so you're saying we're not necessarily going to use all the purchase order?
There might be that in the case. I really have to go back and look at the purchase orders and see what specifically they're for to be able to better speak to it. Will you be in later this week or next week? I can try to prepare it to go through with you.
Yeah, because again, I'm just worried about this $457,000. Mm-hmm. And I guess the above that available balance for income, $16,852,000, that's really yet to come in, yet to be received income. It's, to me, it's not available. It looks like we got plenty of money to spend.
It's a single column title. Yeah. It's really intended for the expenses, but we put the income.
If you add the encumbrances in there, then it theoretically would be the same as the expenses number.
Right, but typically you don't encumber revenue. Conservative approach would be to just recognize it when it's received.
Yeah.
I can add an additional title line to separate that if you would. That would make it clearer.
I just don't want people to think we have a lot of money left to spend. We don't.
No.
Are we getting our budget books tonight?
No, I want to look at them one more time before I hand them out. I need a fresh set of eyes to make sure that this is what we want to publish. So you will have them this week before Thanksgiving, as is has been the past.
Something to look forward to before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
With our turkey, huh?
Some light reading.
So the
add to your indigestion.
Yeah. So just to clarify, too, so the available balance, as we're talking about, that's being used for expenses, is we're still not even halfway through the year, technically, when we're looking at it as July through June. So as we get closer to June, that number is going to be, it'll be matching more closely.
Yeah, the purchase services, transportation, supplies, property, those lines will definitely change. Your salary and benefits, those are pretty much encumbered.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on the budget?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, let's do the minutes and we'll take a 5-minute break, then we'll come back, okay? We have the minutes on November 7th, but I'll tell you to accept a motion to approve the minutes as printed.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
There's a couple of minor typos. No big deal. Under your long list of meetings that we're supposed to go to?
I've got page 2.
On page 3, actually. Deborah's is actually spelled, like Deborah, D-E-B-O-R.
Deborah's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that top list?
You have another one?
That was what I did, but I can't find it at the moment.
Okay, do you want to make, you're making a motion to change the spelling of Deborah's?
Yes, please.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Discussion? Having none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries 5-0. Any other rare changes? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries 5-0. All right, we'll take a 5-minute break and then we'll come back for public comment and question. Call the meeting back to order. Quiet down, please. Thank you. One of the things, before we move on to item K, one of the things that troubled me about the meeting tonight is we had all these parents come to our meeting, and they were looking for answers from us. They had gone to the teachers, the principals, the superintendent, and they came to us hoping to get something. They really didn't get anything. Okay, and I just wasn't happy with that. And one of the things Steve said was right. He's correct. I mean, we make policy, we make budget decisions, but we're not involved, per se, with the day-to-day running of the school system. I mean, we rely on the principal and the superintendent, the teachers to do that. And one of the things that happened tonight is that they told us that things weren't working the way they thought that it should be. And while we can't go in and fix it ourselves, we can authorize the superintendent to start looking into this and report back to us next meeting. So what I think we should do is authorize the superintendent, we'll vote on this, to say, okay, look into the concerns about the lecturing in the lunchroom and the kids not having lunch time to just eat their lunch. I mean, you can't go all day as a kid. I can't as an adult, so I can't imagine what it's like for a kid to just not have that time to just decompress. And the fact that the kids are unhappy about coming to school and the lack of communication and the yearbook issue. We're not going to talk about budget because budget we'll be addressing in the coming weeks. But these other issues that are much softer that have to do with the interaction. I think I'm going to ask for a motion that we authorize the superintendent to look into these issues and to come back with a recommendation at our next school board meeting, which would be December 12th. So I'm making that motion. Do I have a second?
Yes.
No, second.
Okay, we can.
Do we have to take a vote? I mean,
we don't have to take a vote. Okay, we can just tell them to do it. Okay. I can deal with that.
He's authorized to do it anyway.
What?
Yeah. He's authorized to do it.
We signed his paycheck, right? So, okay.
So are we going to tell him no?
Yeah. Okay, so we're doing that. He's going to report to us back on the 12th. I hope that alleviates some of your concerns. But see, we need time to think about these things. We can't just, we need time to process it a little bit. So, again, I apologize for that, but hopefully that resolves some of these issues. Okay, now we're going to new and uncharted territory here, guys. So we will entertain questions from the public that pertain to the meeting's agenda items only, but you're free to comment about other things as well. Mr. Busse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I commend you for this new change in policy. I hope you will continue it and expand it. I think it will do you and the community a world of good. But I must say I am a little disappointed to be lectured again tonight. As a negative dweller, I would expect to hear it from the superintendent. I was disappointed to hear it from Mrs. Egner that negative dwellers keep attending the meetings and we never celebrate the positive. That's not true.
I tried really hard not to say that.
We had a great high school, thanks to Jim and Jen. They have changed the atmosphere there tremendously. Dropout rates down to zero. Heidi Welch has the best music program in the state. Mark Pryor has the best DECA program in the country. John Bramley, great with all his kids. Alex Luchjev with the National Honor Society. Got a great program, but there are problems. There are problems. Let me take you back in history. 1990 or 92, my wife was chairman of the school board, so I attended graduation with her. 2 weeks after graduation, we go to Diamond Acres with our two kids, and the four of us ordered things. The person who took our order was a two-week-ago graduate from Hillsborough Deering High School. Could not add that column of figures. Bring that forward to 6-7 months ago. Mingdu advertised for help. They had 30 Hillsborough Deering students or GFDs. They couldn't hire any of them because they couldn't do the math. We do a marvelous job with some kids. But it's not just those test scores. They're not a fluke. For ages, your budgets have been going up. They're higher than the state average, and yet we're well below the state in test scores and actual results. Kids that can't function. And that is, it's got to be brought up. That falls directly on you and prior school boards. That is a major failure. That's why this district has a poor reputation. And what do we hear? Oh, we're disappointed. And we're going to have a new program. Now it's the Star 360. A few years ago it was something else, and before that it was something else. Something isn't happening. What's the definition of insanity? What you've been doing for 20 years here, it's not working. We do have, not to address budget problems, you say it would cost $50,000 for a new teacher. You're telling me you can't find $50,000 to cut out of a $21 million budget to hire a new teacher? Let's look at the, you're surprised about discipline. I've been hearing about discipline problems in the elementary and middle school for years. There has to be consequences for discipline. And it's not a lecture. You don't lecture kids about being polite and disciplined. And yes, Steve, you can do something about it right now. You can establish a policy that says no kid in this school is going to get deprived of lunch for whatever problem. But you can also establish a policy that kids that act out in class face consequences. You can tell that classroom teacher that if that kid acts out, he gets sent to the principal's office or he gets stayed in at recess. That's what they used to do with us. Give them consequences. These are active parents. You send a note home saying their little Johnny acted up, and little Johnny's in worse shape at home than he was in the school. Give the teachers the support they need to instill the discipline, and it'll turn around overnight. Guaranteed. Set that policy. No lectures at lunch. You can set that tonight and alleviate half of their concerns. Sure, you got to look into the others. You can't make adjustments on just what's been brought up tonight. But there you can. The kid's entitled to lunch. You said it, Rich. Set the policy tonight and tell them. No lectures at lunch. That's the kid's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody want to respond to anything that Mr. Bossett has just said?
I agree. Three things that are lacking in general: discipline, consequences, and incentives. And I'd like to speak a minute about incentives. Test scores are here. They're important. And we have kids, again, speaking elementary, middle school, on the 4-3-2-1 scale, 4 being the highest. We need to recognize those kids that get 4s. Maybe not their picture, but we get to need their names in the papers, the kids that got 4s in math and English and science, whatever. We need to build those kids up. If you set a school record in scoring points or something, you get your name in a paper. How about if you get a 4? You're one of the few kids that got top score in academics. Let's put the names of those kids in the paper, maybe a little plaque, at least for the year. I don't know how many there are offhand in the different grades, but they need to be recognized. That's an incentive. And I think we should do that sooner rather than later.
Anybody else? Board? I guess one thing that Nancy said, and you seem to take it personally. When we found out about the high school that we were 11th from the top, there were people, I mentioned no names, but it wasn't you guys, that said, well, this is Newsweek. This is not no big deal. Mm-hmm. And it was. We celebrated. I mean, the kids all had ice cream on the board. Mm-hmm. The board members were there to celebrate with the kids because it was an accomplishment. It was an achievement. This school does not deserve the reputation that it has. Not anymore. At least not the high school. But, and I don't think the middle school and elementary school do either. But we are moving forward. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's...
I need to clarify.
Go ahead.
I need to call on Mr. Reckitt for an answer here. Has any student been denied lunch?
Never.
Okay. So let's get that off the table. Have kids been denied recess after lunch?
Quite possibly they've been.
Okay. And was that a consequence for whatever? We don't have the person who's in charge of discipline here, so we can't answer for them. But thank you.
Okay. John?
A couple of things. One, just for the record, that 2.5% that you saved over, the voters did not authorize saving it over. They authorized the board to have the right to do so, but the board has yet to take a vote saying that they're going to do that this year, because it's not automatic that it happens every year. That's not what the voters said. That's not what the law says. You still have yet to take a vote to do it. Parents might argue that it's too late, that you should have taken that vote before June 30th. But that part's not even. You do need at some point to take a vote to authorize that to have happened and to stand up and put your name behind keeping that money from the taxpayers, from returning to the taxpayers. Thing about the budget always going up, it's not the amount. You're not hearing me. Whenever somebody says there's a need, the immediate response is that the budget needs to be raised. It's not the amount, but how it gets spent. When we see $40,000 on a sign or an ice rink, both of those money that was supposed to have been spent on improving student improvement, that was from the student improvement grants from the state. When we see you wanting to throw out perfectly good buildings that are less than 20 years old, only to try and build, spend $1 million to build a new one. It's, you know, just common sense things about how you spend the money, what you spend it on, and then go and claim that you don't have the money for the teacher. Yes, the policy, now go on, you talk about what your job role is as opposed to the administrators, and Bob finally did get, although he'd make a good lawyer, Bob, you do that leading question stuff with your administrators really well, and you got Dan to stand, you know, answer the answer that you wanted, but when these people were asking the question, that was the time to have Dan answer those specific questions. He is the principal, and he should, and he knew about this stuff in advance, so there's no reason to have not gotten that information from the person who is in charge of behavior, because these people say, and I believe them, that they did talk to him, and that some of them even talked to you. So there's no excuse for you guys not having had that answer prepared. And I would appreciate some discussion about that, but I'm going to cover two more things quickly, and we can discuss all of them. One is, at previous meeting and again at this meeting, I specifically asked you for an answer about why you couldn't just move the teacher from the grade. And this, when, you know, it's getting later in the season, but it can still be done. But when you first knew about it, back in, that was like the beginning of October, you know, we're only a month into the school year. And you could have had class, more balanced class size. Why not, you know, why can't you just give a straight answer to the public?
As far as the moving the third grade teacher to the fourth grade teacher to the fourth grade, I talked to Bob about that as well. Okay? And he explained to me why. And there are some things that we just can't make public. Okay? For whatever reason, we cannot make public the reason why we're not moving that teacher. However, I have asked a question. Bob and I talked about it, and I feel comfortable with that answer. I'm sorry I can't share it with you guys, but there is a reason, and we'll leave it at that. Okay? I apologize because we can't share it. Anything else? Any other questions? Let's go with, go ahead, in front. Yes, you.
I just wanted to respond to, it's not that the kids are being denied lunch, they're allowed to go through the line. It's that the lunch is such a fraught experience that many of the kids don't feel like they're allowed to eat when the lectures are happening, and it's too bad that Ms. Beaugrey isn't here to speak for herself. I called and left her a message at 8 o'clock this morning, and she didn't respond to me. Though other parents here have had to try to have conversations with her on this topic, especially last Friday. The kids were lectured for the entirety of the lunch. When kids turned their attention away from her, they were reprimanded, which made some students feel so uncomfortable that they didn't want to take their eyes off her to try to eat. My son had brought in leftovers from home. When you bring in leftovers from home, you go through the lunch line, you hand them to the lunch lady, and when they get a minute, they heat them up for you. You go back 5 minutes later, you pick up your reheated lunch. When my son got up 5 minutes into the lecture to go get his lunch, he was publicly humiliated in front of his class for getting up and not listening. He was yelled at in front of his entire grade for trying to go get his lunch. This is what is happening. You need to listen to the parents. This is not okay. Thank you.
We agree with you that it's not okay. You heard what action we took. If we don't have the answers, if Bob doesn't give us the answers that we want to hear at the next meeting, we will escalate it more, and that is not acceptable.
Right.
It's not acceptable at the workplace, first of all. It's not acceptable at the school either.
Well, that's a policy.
Okay, wait a minute. It's not your turn. Okay, in the back.
So I just have a couple comments. Kathleen pretty much said everything I was going to say about the lunch. I used to work in law. I know how you worded that question to make sure that the law was very much navigated through that. You know, we didn't deny that lunch, right? You did, okay? But not for your actions, our children would have eaten lunch. End of story. My son was not able to turn around and eat his lunch because Ms. Beaugrey said, you need to all have your eyes on me. When his friend next to him took eyes off, it was, hey, you with the pink hair, I'm talking. That's not acceptable. It's not okay. We are bullying the children. Your assistant principal is bullying our children. Whether you want to hear it or not, whether you think you have the answers or not, I apologize for being hostile. This is my child. And he is being bullied at school to the point where he did not come to school. And I called. And when Allison answered the phone, she said, is he sick? I said, no, Allison, actually, he's scared to come to school because he was told that the whole fifth grade would have to line up and face the wall at recess. So he's staying home today. I brought this to the principal. You ask, have we brought it to him? I bring it to him. He never seems to know what we're talking about. I've written emails. Everybody here has written emails, and I know for a fact. I've seen them all. I chatted with him for the chat with the principal. It got nowhere. I asked about bringing in positive reinforcements. My response that I got, not from Mr. Record, but from one of the teachers there was, if it's something to the effect of, if it's positive reinforcement you need, then whatever. I was livid. I said, we took away B-bucks. Those are positive reinforcements. You did something good, you get a B-buck. I was told those were a farce. They were fake. People, teachers were just handing them out to shut up the kids. I said, you took away the awards evening. Now the students who did get good grades, now mind you, nobody's feelings are going to get hurt because it's by invite only. If you get the good grades, you get invite only to go. We don't do that anymore. Okay. Well, what about the announcements at the end of the day? Good job to so-and-so. Good job to this classroom. We don't do that anymore either. That was made up. What do we have? I'm not looking at it from a legal standpoint. Okay? I've been there and I've done that. I'm talking to you as a taxpayer and as a mother. So whatever you've heard or deny hearing, I am telling you right now what's happening. My son was a straight A student until this year. He's been in the newspaper numerous times. Can he be a little turd? I'm sure he can. But I guarantee you, any punishment he gets at home is going to be worse than you can dish out here until this year. So you talk about the actions that you want to see. So what do we do in the meantime with our children who are begging not to go to school? Just say, wait, they're going to fix it? We've been saying that from day one since school started. And nobody's fixed anything. You say, bring it to you again. Well, why am I going to bring it to you again? You're telling me you have to discuss it and come up with nothing. We are frustrated. Who else can we bring this to? What else? Do we need to prove ourselves? Do I need to prove that my son is not lying? And how do I do that? Tell me how.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thought they were going to get answers.
I'd like to a couple things. First of all, I want to be positive to say that my daughter's been in the school system for 9 years, and I have been superbly pleased. She is in the eighth grade currently. She is here for 2 years. She's part of every club possible. The school system has been fantastic. And I do nothing but say wonderful things all the time to anybody says who ever asks about the Hillsborough school system. Seriously. I have, to this point, been very happy with the elementary school. I think the fifth grade teaching team is phenomenal. In fact, I've met with all of them in the last couple of days. They taught my daughter years ago, and now they have my son. Super happy with all that. You go to the discipline. 100% I believe that kids need to be disciplined. Very important. But they have to understand what they're being disciplined for. The problem is now my son was put on a public humiliation discipline for 2 weeks and was never told why. He was just told he was a bad kid, but there was no specifics. I've asked questions to everybody. Why is he being punished? How do you explain to a kid, you know, what behavior he needs to change if you're not telling him what he did wrong? So I asked. He told me that the vice principal told him that his teachers chose him to be on the bad list. So of course that made him think all his teachers hated him. I've met with every teacher who says there is no problem. They did not choose to put him on the list. So there is no problem there. Again, still no answers. I tried to speak to Ms. Beaufry today, but she was quite defensive. In fact, she told me she had to hang up on me. I was just trying to get answers for my son. We're just trying to move forward. If he needs to be disciplined, 100%, he needs to be disciplined. He needs to be told what he did wrong. He needs to go to the SSC. I would like to be told so I can communicate to him at home and help coach him on how to have better behavior. We want to be involved parents. If we don't know what behavior is happening in the cafeteria, we can't coach our kids to tell them what they need to do to make it better so that they're not getting screamed at and hollered at every single day and told how horrible they are on a daily basis. We really just want to help. So if they can communicate to us what's going on, then we'll be there to help as parents and support our kids become better students. We really care about the system. So thank you.
Thank you. You know, we as a board, I think, all recognize there's an issue here. Okay? We've told the superintendent that's his number one priority to look at this. Okay? There's really, I mean, no action that we can do tonight other than that. I mean, Mr. Buss has suggested we come up with a policy saying no lectures at lunch. But we don't want to have policies about things that are common sense. And that, to me, that's just common sense that you don't do stuff like that. Okay? Okay? But at least give the superintendent a chance to make good on this, okay? There isn't a lot we can do tonight other than that. I mean, but...
I'll respond to something.
Okay, go ahead.
I have to tell you that as far as your child being denied lunch because they were forced to be paying attention is news to me. Okay, that part I am not aware of. And I apologize for that because it's unacceptable to me also. I was a teacher for 22 years, and classroom management is critical to productive teaching and learning. It has to be a safe environment. It has to be an environment where kids can pay attention and stay focused. When I joined the dark side and became a school administrator, I was an assistant principal. And my mother asked me how I liked the job. I know we're playing. My mother asked me how I liked the job as assistant principal, and I said, angry kid, angry teacher, and angry parent is who walks through the door all day. And she said, oh my gosh, how do you like that? And I said, I love it, Ma. And she said, how can you love it? Child gets sent down because most of the time it's because they made a bad choice. Okay, usually they're steaming mad, so you got to let them sit and decompress for a few minutes till they can gather their thoughts. But then you have them come in and tell their side of the story. And that's the law anyways. It's due process. Okay, they have the right to tell their side of the story. It's actually pretty comical most of the time because as they're telling you their story, they wind up telling you what they did wrong in the story. And as they're saying what they did in the story, they're telling their version, they'll say, oh, I shouldn't have dropped the F-bomb, Mr. Hassett. I shouldn't have said that word, or I shouldn't have poked that kid or took that pencil that I wasn't supposed to, that I was told not to touch. And at the end, they feel that their story's been heard. Then when I speak to the parent, and you say to a parent, good kids make bad choices sometimes. And that is true of every single one of us in this room. There isn't a single person here that wasn't a child that made a bad choice. The question becomes, what do they do the next time? Okay, and that's what's supposed to come out of this. Okay, when you send a kid to the office, what you're supposed to say is the next time that somebody pushes your buttons, the next time that somebody takes your book or does something mean to you, you can't punch them in the nose. That's not a good plan, because every time you come down here, then I'm going to have to suspend you. What's a better plan that you can do? How are you going to address this the next time somebody does whatever it is that got you upset? That's discipline with dignity. That's a positive form of discipline. Okay, I do have new people. The issues of behavior were what were presented to them as one of the biggest obstacles to teaching and learning here. Okay. When the teacher comes down at the end of that, okay, and they hear, well, this is what he told me his version of the story was. And sometimes adults aren't 100% on target either. They only heard a piece of a conversation. Maybe they only heard the swear word. Maybe they don't know that the kid swore because of something that somebody else did. And with some teachers, if it's the same issue, the same time, then I have to have a conversation with the teacher about what pushes your buttons and how do you react to children and have you handled these things correctly. That's a skill that needs to be learned, and how to do the right thing by the kid and the right thing by the parent, letting them know. Half the time when I would call a parent, I would say to the child, do you want me to call a parent with you in the room? And you can hear everything I'm saying to your mom. And then hand the phone to them. Some kids would choose to tell their version of the story to their mother in front of me. And then we can have a discussion as adults. Because the only thing we have in common is that child. Because that's what we're here for. And we've got some people that are new, that are on a learning curve. And I don't accept the signs. I'm not happy at all about signs about bad behavior. Don't do this and don't do that. Because sometimes kids don't even know what not to do. It was a joke when I was younger, don't paint the cat yellow. Because if you say that to a kid, then there are kids that say, I never thought of doing that. That's a really cool idea. My cat would look great yellow. All right? So the negative stuff doesn't really create as much success with changing behaviors as the positive stuff does. And I realize that right now we're trying to pull that back into perspective. And there's a golden spoon and a rubber chicken, which we talked about the other night at PTO. Some of you were at the PTO meeting. I do think that there's been a shift in trying to make the discipline less, but I'm disappointed to hear what I've heard tonight, and I will address it.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold it, please. Yes, sir, in the back.
As a parent, maybe partly to blame, I heard maybe I haven't paid attention enough, or I haven't been to the meetings in the past, I'm not up to speed. I didn't go through the proper channels. Like I say, I went through the proper channels for 3 years. I haven't paid attention. But I guess the message isn't here tonight because I'm not frustrated. I think the problem is that high. Yeah, maybe I could have been here in the past at previous meetings, voiced my opinion, but I think for me that pressure is the hand where, yeah, there's a real problem here. I don't know what it is. But, you know, I think I speak for everyone in this room to say we're all on the same page. Kids don't succeed if the parents aren't here saying we're frustrated. These are the problems. The kids don't succeed if the school board's not listening to these problems and taking action. And the kids don't succeed if the administration doesn't do something about it. So just remind everyone, we can be upset at each other, we can be frustrated with each other, but we're all here trying to solve. It's the same problem. We're trying to solve the same problem. You know, I just asked the school board to do two things. And my frustrations, I think, are two categories. You solve 90% of the problems. I don't care if you don't touch the other 10%. Forget about it. Don't even address it. 90% is discipline in the classroom. Do something about it. I don't know what. Consequences, motivation, whatever. It's not, I don't know. I try my best at home, you know, with what I do with my kids. It's working. That's one. And the other is my math says that 50,000 out of 22 million is two ten thousandths of a percent. Find that in the budget. Find 50,000 for one more teacher for my kids' class. I think in fourth grade they need one more teacher for the elementary school. I don't know if the other grades have high class levels or not, how many kids are in those classes. I don't know. I don't think they do. Matter of fact, my wife said she has a better memory than I do. She said, when we went to the parent-teacher conference, I counted. And she didn't. She remembered every class. She said, our fourth grade class has the highest number of kids in it. We're 26. I mean, if every other class is in the range you want to be, 18 to 20, $50,000 solves the problem. Discipline and $50,000, that's it, 90%.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Carly Donsey, parent of a child in the elementary school and the middle school. First, I want to thank the board for changing up this public comment because having a question and answer segment may tend to draw the meeting out quite a bit. But I think it just shows your support. Thank you very much. Also, I have voiced to all of you that I do celebrate the achievements of the high school. But I wrote a letter to all of you last year, 2015-16, probably end of February, beginning of March, and I didn't hear a response, but my concerns are the same at discipline in the elementary, and I really hope that we don't continue to allow the middle school to be that black hole. I am thrilled that all of these elementary schools parents are here, but we can't change our focus and make sure that just everything, you know, starts to fix the elementary school. We have to have consistency. On that note, I had the pleasure of being able to sit a Friday a couple weeks ago during lunch for every single class. From what I understand, it was a pretty good day. Maybe my presence there changed the actions of administration. I don't know. But from my perspective, the biggest concern is these kids don't have consistency. They have two people that are only there for their 20-minute lunch period that are trying to direct them. And if they had
people that they interacted with on a more regular basis, then it may be able to be more fluent in their day. You know, even with Paris being able to be in the cafeteria, just people that they're familiar with and they have a rapport with, more so than the ones that are there for that amount of time, giving them stickers if they sit and eat their lunch. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Ma'am? Yes.
I just have a concern that Selena brought up. I didn't realize that there was a list of bad children. That, just as a parent, hearing that just concerns me. And maybe that's not a publicly known thing or not really supposed to be talked about, but there, in my regard, there shouldn't be a list of bad children that you get put on by administration, by your teacher, by your classmates. That, to me, just scares me that there's a list, or even an imaginary list, of bad children. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Sir, in the back, in the tie. Yes.
Hi. I came here tonight under the behest of Ms. Hoffa, a little agitated, and I'm leaving beyond furious. My son came home last week, two lunchboxes full of food. Dad, I didn't have time to eat the lunch. I said to him, get your head out of your butt, stop messing around with lunch and eat dinner. I eat your lunch. I didn't know it was a common theme. That's ridiculous. Why is lunchtime lecture time? Am I missing something? That's the first thing. Second thing, I stood early and made my point. One of the common themes here is communication breakdown. The first thing Mr. Hassan said is a somewhat rebuttal to me, unless, well, what I'm hearing is an oversimplification of my point. Well, we'd love to get in a teacher, but you're telling me your taxes too high. You don't want us to raise your taxes, do you? I didn't tell you don't raise my taxes. I expect you to. Okay, I expect it. I'm not a fool. I've been on my own for 40 years. If you're going to raise my taxes, put it to something useful. Okay? I'm sure, Mr. Hassan, you're a great man out here. You come across as condescending. That is what's aggravating me the most right now. I'm hearing, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't. Can I leave here tonight with one we can? Because if you can't, then let's find people who can. I have a household budget. My expenses go up every month, every year. I've made the same income because we're in a lousy economy for the last 10 years, yet I managed to make ends meet. I don't have $21 million to do it. A lot of this is the anger speaking. I'm not this much of a pardon me English dink out of here. So right now, I'm furious. Furious, furious, furious. If I find out my kid's on the list, or if I find out my kid's not getting lunch, you're going to see me a lot more. Because that is ridiculous. You should all be embarrassed. Whether you knew about it or not, you should be embarrassed that it's happening in your school. Unless all our kids are best friends and making up this story so they can go embarrass mom and dad tonight to go to the school board and yell, something's going on in the school. We're paying to know what it is. Thank you.
We have directed Mr. Hassan to find out what's going on to correct the issue. Mm-hmm. We are. I am confident. Wait, hold one second, please. I am confident that Mr. Hassan will look into this and he will take the appropriate measures to make this situation better, because we all agree. I don't think any of us in this room would disagree that lunchtime is not lecture time. Lunchtime is for the kids to eat and decompress. I'm confident that he will take care of that. Probably tomorrow. Okay.
You're talking about positive reinforcements. You're talking about putting children's names in the newspaper, which I'm assuming is going to have a fee to it. What happened to the parent letter we used to get once a month? It used to be the Hopper letter. We used to joke about home because the Hopper kids were always in it. But the one or two times my kid was in it, we made it a special event at home. Hey, look, the teacher recognized you, Roland. We don't need ads in paper. We don't need plaques. We don't need, oh, expenses, expenses, expenses. Send us an email. Send us a school email like you used to do with one of the other principals. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know that, sorry. But the point being, simple email. And back to the communication block. Last time I was here, I was fighting for a school bus stop to be moved a quarter of a mile on Bridge Street so my kid didn't get hit on icy snowstorms. I sent an email to Mr. Hassan a day later about it. That was a year and a half ago. still waiting for that response. So just send me an email, I'll get back to you. Well, I don't need the bus stop anymore. Well, the babysitter's moved out of town because the taxes are too high. But the point being, you're going to need to tell me communication. Let's actually do it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, yes, ma'am, I'm back.
It's not a lunch in the Bronx. You can beat that one to death. And not all of our kids are besties, just Southbrook, I think. But to Herla's point about middle school won't get lost in Black Hole because all of our fifth graders are going there next year. So I'm pretty sure we'll all be back talking about the middle school. I just want to leave it on a positive, though. Like I said, I have a high schooler and I have an elementary school kid. My ninth grader said that this is his favorite year ever. At the beginning of the school year, my husband and I marched into the high school and we met with Ms. Crawford and Mr. O'Rourke. And we had a nice conversation just to talk about where our concerns were going to be for the year, because while my elementary school kid is, I would call her a model child, but we call her the warden for a reason. She's not a rule breaker. My high schooler is not. However, after we met with Ms. Crawford and Mr. O'Rourke, I have not heard a peep out of him, and he loves the high school. He has nothing but good things to say, and he is absolutely pleased as punch with the administration there. So I wanted to try and leave on some of a positive note with Ms. Crawford and Mr. O'Rourke.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Mr. Boss.
Just want to follow up on a more following her positive note, give you a more positive anecdote. The year I graduated from college, 1969, Hillsborough Deering had a policy that coaches must be teachers, but they didn't have any teacher that knew anything about soccer. So they hired a teacher to be the soccer coach, but then they hired me to be an assistant. And as the teacher didn't know anything about soccer, I did most of the work. Halfway through the season, I don't know if any of you remember Jay Crooker. Jay Crooker, known for Crooker's Army, hanging out in the woods and doing military maneuvers, but he was kind of a wild kid. But halfway through the season, he came up to me and said, "Mr. Bossy, we like you. You yell at us." Kids want discipline. It just has to be even, fair, and they got to know why they're being disciplined. But it's not a matter of making discipline less. You got to make it more. It's just got to be different and consistent. Thank you.
Thank you. John?
One of the things Herla said brought back my thoughts or my experiences 10, 15 years ago. At that time, I did, as a common thing, come in and have lunch with my kids once in a while and see what was going on. And I know that, you know, schools get locked down a lot more than they used to, but I think that has had contributed to a lot of these problems when you had parents in there. At that time, it was common to grab a teacher out of there, just listen, because they could come into the building and catch the teacher, you know, catch my kid coming out of class and say something to the teacher about, you know, how are things today, or, you know, something that came up, and the communication was a lot better. And when you had parents seeing what was going on, it made a difference. You don't have, you know, you won't have a principal or assistant principal or a teacher yelling or doing something like that if they know that they're being seen, what they're doing is being seen. And I think you need to think about that and, you know, maybe reinstitute a thing so that these parents can go in and, you know, drop in once in a while as a surprise to spend, you know, half hour with the kids. By fifth grade, it might be embarrassing the kid a little bit, but, you know, that's good discipline, too.
Okay. Thank you all for this is the end of our first question and answer trial. Oh, we have one more. Okay, one more, and I'll cut it off.
She's got her hand up the whole time.
Yep. Hi, I didn't see your hand. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Michelle, for a second. If you aren't able to add another teacher to the budget, I would just urge the board or administration in elementary school to look at moving staff around so that this year's fourth grade, next year in fifth grade, at the very least, could have four teachers in their grade as opposed to the three that they've been having since second grade. David's class size jumped from 16 to 24. That's a huge jump from first grade to second grade, and I feel like it did make a big difference in a lot of things for him. And I would really just like to see those numbers come down next year. So if we could, you know, they used to, as that grade moved up through the years, shuffle teachers around. And I would just really like to see something different happen, at least for next year.
Okay, thank you.
And I love his teacher this year. She's great. And he loves his class. So I have no complaints with her. She's very creative and very hands-on. But I would just like to see the number sizes come down.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Cindy Boothby. Communication, as a parent of a fifth grader, I have no idea what my son's working on. I don't get any papers home. I don't know what he's doing unless I drill him over and over and over again. What you doing math today? What you doing science today? I don't know what he's doing. We have a great website. Is it possible to post what the kids are doing on the website? Every teacher has a page. Is it possible to get us more involved? First point. Second point, I don't believe the parents in this community truly know what our school scores are. I don't think that in this community it's posted or made known clear enough for this community to understand. I just asked Mrs. Hopper, where does it tell me what our math scores are? And as a parent, I have no idea where to look to find out what our school's percentage scores are, how our schools are doing. So if you take this community in mind, we're a community full of carpenters and mechanics and stay-at-home moms and highly educated people and people not so highly educated, and we really need to make this information more simple and more available so more people know what's going on. Until I started having trouble with school, I had no idea that our scores were that low. So if the only reason I'm here is because I was educated on where our scores are and what's going on. If we don't make more people more educated, then more people are just gonna show up and say, deny the school budget, deny the school budget. I came to a school board meeting 5 or 6 years ago with my neighbor who wanted nothing more than to deny everything that you asked for.
That's perfect, I got it. That's perfect.
Everything that you asked for, he wanted to deny because he homeschooled his children and it didn't matter what he wanted because he didn't know why. He had no idea that our scores were so low and that we were so out of touch. I don't think that our teachers should have to sit down. My teachers, every Friday now, I'm emailing every one of my son's teachers to find out how he's doing. Anybody else emailing teachers all the time? They have classes to teach. They don't need to be emailing parents that, you know, Jimmy got in a conflict with another kid today. Deal with Jimmy and his conflict, go back to teaching multiplication, and let us know what it is we're learning. I can't help him at home if I don't know what he's doing in class.
Thank you. That is one of the issues. Excuse me, sir, please. That is one of the main issues that we get out of this is lack of communication, and we will. That is something that Mr. Hassan will be looking at. One of the things that we had talked about,
you know, like just 35%. We say just the way it is. It was a fluke year.
Excuse me,
no
sir.
No one's going to vote for the budget. They're going to say deny
excuse
the
me,
school
sir.
Budget.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We did this question and answer. I guess this is the end of it. Is a trial. I think it was an interesting endeavor tonight. I thank you all for participating with this. One thing that I don't, that this wasn't, when we started this, it wasn't meant to be a forum to bring your complaints. It was more to talk about our agenda. But I understand why you're all here tonight. And so we just let it go because I could see that we needed to. But the purpose of this was to talk about the agenda items, not about, you know. But again, I thank you, and I would encourage you to come again if it doesn't get resolved, because Mr. Hassett will be on the hot seat if it doesn't get resolved, okay? And we'll move on. Action items. We have two action appointments, leaves, and resignations. I'll now accept a motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations as printed with one...
$2,000 on this sheet.
Okay, and the amount is $2,000 for the ski coach.
So moved.
Can we have a second? Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. 5-0. Okay, I'll now accept a motion to go for the approve the high school Boston performance trip from 5/27 to 5/28/2017.
So moved.
Have a second?
A second.
Discussion? Hearing none? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 5-0. We don't need a non-public. I mean, you don't need a non-public. Okay, so, again, I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. We are going to have a quick meeting to talk about negotiations, so it'll just be the board members and the superintendent. It's not classified as a meeting. So, again, I thank you all for coming tonight. We have a budget session scheduled for next Monday. There will be no public comment to it. It's just the board hearing about the budget. You're all welcome to attend. Our next meeting is the 12th. So it's, 3 weeks from tonight. Again, hopefully we'll see you all there to hear about the budget. And also have a nice Thanksgiving, everybody. And thank you all for coming. Okay, I'll let now accept a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So.
Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. 5-0. Thank you all.